Good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. We got half the gang here, though. Rick is here. Good morning, Rick.
I'm here.
And Jill is... Where is she? She's flying somewhere like fun and fantastic, isn't she?
She sent me pictures of the Vatican yesterday.
Oh, she's in Rome.
Yep.
Well, look at that.
Yep.
Man, oh, man. I was there just about this time. We were all there just about this time last year,
actually. That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to go back. Yep. That was an amazing trip.
That was a good trip.
Boy, Italy is one place. And, you know, speaking from this point of view of this show, there's some incredible stuff you see growing in nature in Italy. The climate is so different than what we're used to here. And, you know, it's an incredible place.
Well, I know. It's a beautiful place. But, you know, we went into the Dolomites up in northern Italy because my grandson was playing up in northern Italy. And but you know what? It's beautiful. It actually is. You know, in the history there with all the old castles and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But, you know, this summer I was driving through, you know, Banff area and the Rockies and that. I mean, we probably, because we have them so close to us, we don't think about them, but we have the most beautiful mountains in the world, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
It's absolutely amazing. And then most people only see some of it, you know, down the number one highway, right? They don't see the rest of it, you know? And there's some, like I said, we have, in our own country, we have some of the amazing places to visit.
Oh,
But I mean, it was something to see, you know.
And the food. Oh, the food.
The food is,
uncomparable.
You can eat the bread without feeling bloated. Now, I don't know what that is about, but everything, but what they do differently, I don't know. Yep. But it just seems like the food is just amazing.
Oh, it's top notch. Yeah. Everywhere you go, you can get food in a restaurant in the train station.
Yeah.
You'd think like that would be fast food. Nope. It's a real restaurant. It's delicious. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. And I remember we were in Greece and we had some of the islands and that, and just the little port side restaurants and that kind of stuff. The food was just incredible.
Yep. Out of this world. Yep. Anyways, welcome to Garden Talk. 1-877-332-8255.
But talk about garden part of it. I mean, unless you went to some actual gardens and that, it's fairly deserty around there, you know?
Yeah, it can be.
Except for up in the Dolomites there. It was incredible. I mean, the mountains with the green meadows and that kind of stuff, they look like golf courses. Like, it's incredible. They're so green.
They grow a lot of stuff in Italy, too. I mean, there's obviously lots of olives, right?
Oh, yeah.
And lots of grapes.
Yep.
Nope. And lots of lemons.
Oh, there's lots of farmland. It's amazing the amount of farmland there. And there's some amazing nurseries in that area, too. One of our associations did a whole tour. I didn't go on that one, but they did a whole tour of the middle of Italy, and the nurseries are world-renowned there for growing plants and that kind of stuff.
So. We went on a day tour to the Amalfi Coast out of Naples, and that was an amazing tour. But along the way, as they drive you to where you're going, you pass through all these tons and tons of vineyards, all that stuff, you know, but then lots of places that are growing plants for export and tons of lemons, lemon trees. Boy. And I saw in one of the small towns we were in, I'm like, look at that. And it was actually a tree growing a pomegranate.
Yep.
Right there on the tree. I've never seen one on a tree. I mean, you see them in the grocery store here. That's it, right? So
that's pretty neat.
All right, let's get the show going. 1-877-332-8255. A couple of great calls coming up right away. So you can call us, and those go first. The text line is secondary, but we'll want to get your texts answered as well. Just before we jump into our couple calls here, Rick, let's answer this question. I mean, you're not at the Garden Center quite as much as Jill, but what's going on in the Garden Center these days?
Oh, yeah, now things are shifting gears. Halloween decorations and all that kind of stuff is up in full blast. There's lots of things going in the greenhouse. It's pretty neat. Some of the Pilates classes in support of Chocolate Cure, where the Cancer Center has been filling up every class. So it's been quite something to see that. And you know, still selling lots of trees and shrubs. I mean, there's lots of people planting, lots of landscapers especially. They're just trying to finish up projects, you know, condo projects and everything else. So there's lots of plants planting. And people asking me about, you know, can I still plant grass seed? I just planted grass seed this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yep. Good. I just planted a pretty big area out in the acreage of grass. My last spot I had to kind of get finished up. And so, yeah, I got that planted, got the water on it, and should be all germinated here and ready to go and get green a little bit this fall before before then spring it'd be not so muddy there.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. And we're going to stick into Saskatoon right now and talk to Paul. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good, thank you. How are you guys?
Good morning, Paul. Awesome.
Yeah, you bet.
What a great football game, eh?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no doubt. Two in a row.
Yeah, hasn't been done for a lot of years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, if we only beat Calgary, we'll be fine. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right. And that's for the cup.
Yeah.
Well, no doubt. Yeah.
Here, I got a couple of quick questions. One is my asparagus plants.
Yep.
When do I cut those down? Do I cut them down in the fall or in the spring?
I like in the spring. The only reason why is because they have so many sprigs sticking up. They catch so much snow that they just protect the plant even more. You know, so they're acting like little snow fences.
Yeah, well, you know, I had an experience with the berries. You know, they get the berries on them.
Yep.
They started new plants.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay.
So that's the reason I do most of my pruning in the spring for, is just because I'm leaving snow fences up.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
The second one is I got a couple 55-gallon barrels that have a lot of water in them still.
Yep.
What do I do with that water? Can I put that on the trees now?
Not yet. Nope. Wait, because it's not going to freeze. That water's not going to freeze right away, right?
No.
I would suggest putting it down about the middle of October.
Oh, okay.
That's when they want their last good drink.
Okay.
Right now, you want to slow down on the watering. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
I've turned my sprinklers down now, and I'm slowing down the water. I want my plants to turn color. I want my trees to turn color and go to their fall state. Okay, my maples, I have some red maples, I want them to turn red, but if I keep too much moisture to them, they'll stay green and freeze green, right? So I want everything to get ready and set up for my hydrangeas are turning color right now like crazy. It's because all of them slowing down in the watering. And then about the middle of October, give everything one last good soak if you can. If you turned off your water, you usually have one tap that you can, not going through a manifold, that you can turn off and on. Give everything one last good watering. Or use the barrels.
Yep.
And then you're all set to go. And that barrel water is fantastic. That's some of the best water you can put on your plants.
Yeah. Well, I haven't even turned my outside water on.
Yeah, there you go.
The whole summer.
We had so much water this year, just filling up my barrels, eh?
Perfect. Oh, awesome.
That's,
very good.
That's perfect.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Again. All right, take care. 1-877-332-8255. We actually have to take a moment's break. So Diane in Wyston, just hang on. We're going to talk about perennials. And we got an elm question from Gail in Regina. We'll get back to that as well.
Perfect.
Right? So stick around. We'll check the text line too. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back and happy Sunday morning. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. Jill's away right now. She's enjoying a different time zone across the other side of the world.
Yeah, total different time zone.
So it's not like we can even put her on because she's a couple hours ahead or behind. She's probably sleeping right now. Anyways, hope she has a great vacation and trip. And we're going to keep going, just the two of us. So calls are coming up right away. Diane, we'll get your call. Nadine, you're coming up too. But first, waiting the longest in Regina is Gail. Hi, Gail. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Good morning.
Good morning.
My neighbor in their backyard has a free-seeded elm tree.
Okay. Right.
Yep.
And so it's quite overgrown into my yard.
Yep.
But so I'm wondering, though, in the spring, all the leaves turned brown and brittle, and they all fell off.
Okay.
And then it did come back. Is that a sign of disease?
Like if you had a Dutch elm disease in it, you would see them turn a bit yellow first, then they turn brown, and they'd wilt. They just hang down and wilt, and they don't fall off the tree that easy.
Oh, they don't.
They kind of hang on to the tree.
Okay.
And they will eventually fall off, but I mean, when that disease hits, that's why you can really kind of notice that they're all brown and that they don't fall off the tree, they just hang on there. And so I doubt if it was Dutch elm disease, but it might be, you know, it might be drought. It might have been a whole bunch of different things, you know, depending where it is.
If this is a free-seeded tree, Gail, we're assuming it's not either, it's as well not looked after, right? Like it's not, there's nobody watering it, or it's just sort of an accidental tree, right?
Right. And they also have an ash tree right beside. So I'm thinking, do two trees so close together kind of one takes another one out?
Well, I mean, the elm is a little more aggressive than an ash, so the elm would probably win over top of an ash, just because of the nature of the root system and everything else.
But however, is the ash tree old? Because it's a big tree.
Yeah.
It is a very big tree.
It's a very big tree.
How big is the ash?
And it only I noticed in the spring it only took a week for all the leaves to curl, turn brown, and fall off.
Yeah, and then but it put all new leaves on though, right?
It did, yes.
So did you have any cankerworms around there? Because a lot of leaves, the cankerworms love the elm trees.
Oh, okay.
So
no, I personally haven't seen any.
Yeah, okay. No, I like I said, it doesn't sound like Dutch elm disease. Just from the way you said, all the leaves dropped off and they put new leaves on. That's not the way Dutch elm works. So,
okay.
So it's probably something else that was happening to it. Probably environmental, you know, around it, whether water or something happened, you know. But but otherwise, I don't have to worry about that. But if you do need to do some pruning because of the overhanging branches, now is the time to do elms. Okay, between now and April 1st.
That's my question, because they're laying over top of my garage roof and then plugging the eaves troughs now.
Yep. So now's the time to do that pruning and make sure that you take all those branches. You can take them to the Regina landfill for free, okay? And
I can't put them in the garbage.
If you're small enough, you can, but you know, you won't be able to fill your garbage can up, because depending on the branches, that's a lot of branches, right? But you cannot store them in your yard. That's the big thing, because that just makes a condos for the elm beetle, and they love dead wood, so you don't want to have dead wood lying around your. And plus, it's illegal to have dead wood, like firewood of elm trees, in your yard.
Right, I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
The advice.
Yeah. Great call. Thanks, Gail. Take care.
You too. Bye bye.
1-877-332-8255. You know, that's a good thing. We wanted to mention that anyways. We have said, you know, last week that you can prune elm trees now. That's legal. However, we did have a word of advice that it was maybe a good time just to wait another.
Yeah, now we're getting,
are we okay now?
Getting closer now, because the daylight hours, you see some of the trees starting to turn color.
And we had a bunch of cool weather.
Yeah.
Right?
Because one thing you want to watch for, you want to make sure if you've got any elm trees, you want to cut any dead wood out of them, right?
Yes.
And the best way to see the dead wood when there's still leaves on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Once the leaves have all come off, it's pretty hard to distinguish. You have to really take a look and see which branch is dead and which branch is alive. Right.
Yes.
But right now you can really see which one it is. So if you do see any dead branches on there, now's the time to get those dead branches out.
Because I know we had given the warning, just wait another little while last week, because it was so hot.
Yeah,
right.
It was so hot. Yeah.
Now, like a week later, here we are doing the show, and we had an entire week of cool weather. Like,
we had some frost around Saskatoon area.
We did.
Some pretty heavy frost, like white on the top of roofs, and some people scraping their car windows.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
So that's changed things. So we'll talk about the frost thing, too, in a little bit.
Yep.
But, yeah, absolutely. We'll keep going here with the calls. I think the next one in waiting the longest is Diane, who's in Whiston. Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm fine. Fine. How are you?
Great.
Good. I have a question about, I have perennials planted in whiskey barrels.
Yes.
And will they winter in there?
Not very well.
Not very well.
No. So, best to transplant them into the ground, and then you can move them back in the spring, back in the whiskey barrels if you like.
Okay. When's the best time to replant them?
To transplant them into the ground?
Yeah, to remove them.
Just any time after you get a little good frost on them, like as long as your roots don't, the soil doesn't freeze solid.
Okay.
But let them have a couple of good frosts so they go dormant. Okay. And then just transplant them into the ground, and then throw some leaves or mulch or something like that over top of them. You know, water them into the ground. Throw some mulch or leaves over top of them, and then next spring, if you wish, you can transplant them back. Or you can even put them into a pot, right? And then put the pot into the ground if you want.
Oh, okay.
Right? And then that way, and cover them with leaves or mulch, and then transplant them back in the spring if you want.
The only issue, Diane, with keeping it in the whiskey barrel, we've talked about this before, is just that the ground acts as a heat sink.
Yes.
And also you'll get snow cover.
Yes.
Whereas the whiskey barrel, even if there's, say, some snow on top, will basically freeze right through the whole thing.
The roots can't take that kind of frost.
Oh, okay.
So it's the ground that provides the protection for those roots of that plant. Yep. That's what lets it survive. Yep. So
So even if they're in a pot in the ground, they're safer way.
They're safe because you got a little bit of snow that'll land on top of it, and you got a heat sink in the ground, and they just protect. But that sitting up above the ground in a pot, they don't get that protection.
Okay. Do you put any kind of a fertilizer with them then when you're putting, leave them?
No, don't need to. Just put them in the ground and especially, you know, let them go dormant, you know, let the frost get the leaves a bit so they turn brown. And then put them in the ground, water them into the ground if you're just going to put them straight in the ground, and then mulch them, and then they're good to go.
Okay. That's good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks again. Take care.
Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255.
There's lots of people that put strawberries and all different kinds of things in the planters and that, in pots and that. So if you want to protect them, transplant them into the garden area and you can re-put them back in the pots again in the spring.
Perfect. Okay, let's go to, I think it's Macklin right now. We'll talk to Nadine. Hi, Nadine. How are you?
Oh, hello. Oh, I'm fine. I have a question. How do you get calla lilies to bloom? I've planted the bulbs for years. I save them. It says plant them near the surface. Well, this year I did plant them near the surface. They still didn't bloom.
Yeah, make sure. There's two things. One, I suggest if you want them to bloom, start them in the house in a pot, okay? Basically at the beginning of April, okay?
Okay.
And then get them started in the house, you know, put them near a window or something like that so they got lots of light. And then you got a head start because our season's so short, right?
Okay.
So that's the best thing to do is put them in a pot, start them in the house, and then don't forget when you plant them back in the ground again, put some bone meal or some organic vegetable fertilizer or something around them. Then you'll get those nutrients, and then the bulbs need those nutrients to produce that flower.
Oh, my. Okay. How many plants can you put into one pot?
As long as they're not touching, as many as you want, okay?
Oh, okay.
As long as the bulbs themselves are not touching each other.
Okay, because I've tried one in a pot, and I've tried several in a pot, and nothing blooms. They're nice green leaves, you know.
Yeah, you just need some bone meal. You need some of the boron, magnesium, you need all that kind of stuff, so that energy pushes all that energy back up from the bulb into the flower.
Okay, I'll have to try that bone and
not
next year.
And not a high nitrogen. You don't want to use a 20-20-20 or 30-10-10 because then you're just going to produce all green and no flowers.
I think I have some bone meal, so I'll try that.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Nadine. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. We're coming up to a break here. So, Ian, we'll get your call on as soon as we get back from the break because we just don't have quite enough time to answer it before we got to go. So we're going to answer just a couple quick texts and we'll see what we can get to here. When can I prune my Saskatoon berry bushes? Asks Tom in Saskatoon.
Yeah, this fall once the leaves fall off. Okay. Basically, your end of October, basically, that's when or otherwise end of March or the first week of April.
Okay.
That's all right. Either time is perfect.
Another couple of texts that we can get in squeezed in here. Les is in Corning, one of our regulars. Les asks, our temperature dropped to -1.
It's cold.
Will it affect the corn from maturing?
It can.
Okay. Yeah.
It can. I mean, corn's a little bit tougher. Okay, they have good husks over top of the corn and everything
else. It's a bit insulated, right?
It's a bit insulated, so it can take a little bit of frost. Things like tomatoes, cucumbers, you know, peppers, all that don't like that at all. So watch for that, especially in your low-lying areas. If you had that kind of frost, you probably had it, or, you know. So some of your plants would be done that way. But, I mean, if you're in areas that aren't low area, if you need to finish off some watermelons or some melons and that, so think about blankets, you know, like sheets, something light, or what works really good is frost blankets or cover crops blankets, and then they can stay over top and they can just finish off those crops because we had a kind of weird summer, you know, not as much light because of the smoke and everything else.
Yeah, definitely.
And so a lot of the plants are behind a bit, so you just need to finish off ground crops, carrots, potatoes, onions, all that kind of stuff. They're fine. Don't worry about them.
Okay, we'll be back shortly. A news update for everybody right now. Alan's call will be coming up, and Ian will be back as soon as we get back from the break, too. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Some blue sky where we are. Hopefully the day is looking just as nice for you. Happy Sunday morning. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. We've got Jill away today. She is on the other side of the planet. So it's just the two of us and the rest of you guys. So thanks for joining us. We're going to get to Alan's call and Todd right away. Ian has been waiting the longest on the phone lines. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
I'm okay. Yourself?
Pretty good. Now, I know you tried to send us some pictures. We only got one of them. So tell us and the listeners what's going on with this succulent.
Okay, so my wife has a, it's not terracotta, it's a fake terracotta, you know, that brown plastic, whatever.
Yep.
It's maybe about
10 inches, maybe a little more across, and it has three succulents that they kind of look like, you know, like if you had a rose bowl, like that shape.
Yep.
Of three different ones. And then it's got two bigger ones that are taller on the other side of it. So she only had a, the only place she was putting it was on the west side of the house, and it was getting sun all the time, like, you know, from afternoon till evening.
Yep.
And so I kind of Googled, and it kind of, what I saw was that it should get like indirect sun.
Yeah, more like a dappled sun, like underneath the, you know, it could be in the full sun, but maybe a tree or something like that close by, it gets a little bit of shade, you know, or spotted sunlight through it, you know?
Yeah.
They do
so
better.
I didn't really have any place this year to do that, because I came, yep, and got some Dr. Doom from you guys from the Plant Solutions for the fungus on our green ash.
Okay.
And so what I did was I put it underneath the umbrella on the patio table.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then I put it as far to the north as I could on the table. So it was getting maybe a couple hours of sun in the morning and then, say, from 5 till 8 at night.
Yep.
But it seems like it's grown quite a bit.
Okay.
So maybe it was even that was too much sun. So can... what we were hoping to do was bring it in. We haven't done this in other years. So we want to try and overwinter the cactus in,
yep,
the house.
Yep.
But I don't know if it needs to be repotted. Like, how do you know when a cactus needs to...
Well, when you see them filling the pot so that they're just crammed in there, then they need to be changed then, right? But, I mean, if they're not really crammed in there, you'd be fine. The biggest thing I worry about is that in a plastic pot, is there holes in the bottom of that plastic pot?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. That's the big one, you know, because some of those plastic pots, they don't have very good drainage, you know, and then you get waterlogged plants when you move them inside, especially.
Yeah, so what I do when I go outside to water my other plants,
yep,
I walk over there and I lift it up and feel how light it is. And then I when I lift it up, I take my other hand and I, you know, feel into those little,
yep, good,
holes. And then, good, if it's dry, then I'll tell my wife, hey, it's time to water your plant, because I'm not watering.
Yeah, because, you know, you want it to dry out between waterings. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
And do you even fertilize cactuses?
Yeah, you can use a cactus fertilizer.
There's a specific one for succulents,
yeah, for
and cactus.
For succulents,
yeah,
and cactus.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know in other years, if you bring house outdoor plants in,
yep,
you can potentially bring little
hitchhikers. Aphids. Yep. Yeah,
yeah.
Debug them. Use some safer, you know, like some, you know, end all that kind of stuff on them. And
even on a succulent.
Yeah, on a succulent. Just
spray, it's fine. Yeah.
Yep. Spray them and try to get rid of those little hitchhikers before you bring it inside.
That's a good word.
Yeah. The other thing too that you can do, Ian, that's neat with succulents versus most other plants is you can basically bust a piece off and start new stuff.
Yep.
Right. Like, and all you do is literally break it off and then stick it in moist soil.
Get a cactus type soil.
Yeah.
Right. Stick it back into that again, another pot right next to the other one. And then you can start some other plants too.
So if it's getting ugly or too long,
or too overgrown
or lanky, it does get hard to transplant them because they sometimes, I've done this with them, they disintegrate. You try to pick them up and all their petals
break off
and you're left with like nothing. So, and you might have some roots, but then you have basically no plants.
Especially they get lanky, you know?
Yeah, they get delicate.
And if you
delicate.
Put them in too much shade, then they will stretch, okay, to try to reach the sun. So don't put them in too much shade, okay?
So try to overwinter it,
yep,
and good luck. We wish you the best. If it's getting out of hand or it looks really terrible,
yep,
do the other thing is make new plants from the existing ones, ditch the existing ones, and you'll have a new crop for next year.
Yeah, exactly.
I never knew you could cut them back.
Oh, yeah, it's like pinching off a little leaf and sticking it in the soil, and it'll grow roots.
It'll grow roots right there in the wet soil. It's amazing how they can propagate, yep, themselves just by busting a piece off or cutting, yep, a piece off.
It's like portulaca. You're going to never get rid of them, really. They just keep reproducing themselves.
Go ahead, sorry. The
pot that they're in.
Yep.
Can I just take a tape measure, and then just go and get a terracotta pot? Are they better for the cactus?
Yeah, terracotta is better.
Okay. Yeah,
because they breathe.
Are you still selling pots?
Absolutely, we sell, yeah, all year round.
Oh, they got a huge selection. Oh, okay. Yeah,
all year round.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. All and right. And I've got
some. Should I fertilize, or should we fertilize it once we bring it in?
Not very often. You probably want to do it once every 2 months inside the house on a succulent, okay?
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Take care. Thanks, Ian. Take care. 1-877-332-8255. I actually have a succulent plant that through transplanting like that, where I've busted a piece off, gotten rid of the ugly mother plant, started again.
Yep.
We have two of them that, I'm just trying to think of the year, are at least from 2011.
Yeah, no, you keep...
That have kept... this thing looks ugly now.
We have some big bowls that are probably... I don't know, 24 inches round type of thing.
Yep.
It almost takes two of us to carry it back into the house every year. So it's, and we've had them for a lot of years.
And mine are little pots. They're the opposite. They're little pots and it gets ugly. So I cut off a couple nice pieces that I like and start, I ditch the whole thing, new soil into that same pot. Then I got another one again.
There you go.
Away you go again. So 2011. That's how my succulent is. At least pieces of it. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go over to Wawota and talk to Alan. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good, doing good. You guys?
Very good.
Pretty good. What's going on with trees in your yard?
I've got a box elm. It's got basically three trunks growing from one large base.
Yep.
It's got a crack between two of them, probably been there a couple of years because it looks like it's pretty well healed. It doesn't bleed or seep or anything like that.
Yep.
But I do notice that they are leaning further and further apart. I've heard you say that I could drill a hole through the tree, put some ready rod through it, hold her back together.
Yep, you got to do that up higher than right at the crack, you know, because you use leverage, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about 6 to 10 feet up.
Yep, perfect.
Like I said, they're probably a good 14, 16, and 18 inches in diameter each.
Yep,
yep.
Do I go right through the center?
Right through the center. Right through the center.
Okay. Do I have to put any patch in the hole?
No. They'll heal over.
Okay.
Eventually, they'll heal right over top of your bolts and everything. Okay? But it's way better than you can't put a band around them, like a wire or chain or anything like that. You could hold them together. The best way is that ready rod. You drill a hole right through.
And some
big, and then put some big
fender washers.
Big fender washers type of thing to hold it, you know, so they don't pull through, because there's a lot of leverage there, right, from those when the wind blows.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I tried for last year. I put some 6-inch tie-down straps for large cargo.
Yep.
And they moved enough where I had it as tight as I could possibly get it. I mean, could go ting, but by 2 months later, the wind came back and it was laying dead. It, like its pants fell down.
Yeah, yeah, it actually broke the strap.
Yeah.
It dropped it.
And the strap will damage the bark and hurt the tree. So that the ready rod's way better.
But the arborist said that would be the best way to go. But I'll let her know.
Yep.
Because I've listened to you talk about it before. So
yep, works. That's worked. I've done that many times. It works good. And then make sure that crack stays closed. And if you have to, because you don't want water coming down the trunk and into that crack, because it's going to rot that base of that trunk out at where the water gets in. So you'll have to use some. I'd use some even some spray. You know that spray called Stop Leak. You know, spray that in there, and it seals it right up so the water won't go inside there.
Okay. I keep clearing the leaves out and everything, make sure that...
Yeah, but I don't want water to get into there running. Every time it rains, the water runs down the trunk and into that hole, and it's just going to rot.
Right, because it's like a bowl.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
But always leave a spot for the water to escape out the bottom, though, even if you have to drill another little tiny, you know, drain. You know what I mean? At the bottom, after you seal it up, always leave an escape route in case moisture does get in.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Like the eave of a roof.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay.
Can I ask one more question?
We're going to have to put you on hold, Alan. We've got to go to our break. We'll get you on the break, and you can absolutely ask us there. 1 second. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke, back with more after this, here on Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Wow, first hour zooming by quickly. Here we go. Lots more to talk about. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. Jill's away right now, so a couple weeks she'll be back on the show. And maybe who knows what the weather is going to look like then. Let's go to the calls. I think wait the longest is Todd, who's in Broderick, so we'll go to his call. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we have a couple of greenhouses, and we grow tomatoes and peppers from seeds we save each year.
Perfect.
Amazing.
It hasn't been a problem every year. This year, the plants all are super healthy, and like half of them basically grew normally,
yep.
Maybe a little less on production. But like half of them just flowered like in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I had the same thing with a bunch of my plants. This year was just the way the sunlight was this year.
Yeah.
Everything was late and flowering way late. So like I talk, there's people that phone me that just in the last couple of weeks, their hot peppers finally started flowering.
Yeah.
And normally that's, you know, that's why you start them indoors. You seed them indoors, you know, back in February type of thing so that you can get a crop, you know. But this year, because of the light conditions, the smoke we've had and everything else, everything's been late.
Yeah. So you're saying
it's one thing about a greenhouse, you still got time, all right?
Yeah, just if it goes, you know, a few hours below minus two or three, then
you're fine. Fine in the greenhouse, so you'll be able to finish off. But people are outside; they're not going to be able to get that crop.
Now, these are just like it's a little amateur greenhouse, Todd. You're talking about, right?
Like 24 by 50.
Oh, yeah. Like a big greenhouse,
a good size greenhouse.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, good for you.
So, like lots. Wow. Yeah.
No, it's just been one of those things. It's been light, basically the amount of light we've had. And it's been, I mean, we've had one of the, with the smoke and everything else and the cloud cover we've had, we've had one of the, it's been a long time since we've had that least amount of light in the summertime.
Yeah, we also invested more in shade cloth and it's kind of like tied up. So Maggie, the wife can't untie it and pull it back in the morning and then tie it back when it gets too hot.
Yeah, you don't really didn't need that much this year, especially
every
for peppers.
Time we pulled it back, the peppers all died.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Do you have any way of heating your greenhouse, Todd?
Well, I've got like a couple of those Mr. Heaters, like those blow heaters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's $30 a night.
Yeah. Otherwise, put some 5 gallon barrels, black barrels inside there with water that they'll let off so much heat in the evening, especially right now.
Yeah.
Just to do that. That's your battery, right? It's your heat battery and just some barrels of water.
I've seen a couple of YouTube people do that.
Yep.
Yeah, and we've heard lots of people with success with that too. So
even a big rock or something like that. I noticed that around my yard. Wherever my rocks are, I walk on my rocks at nighttime. You know, with my bare feet because I'm going to do something in the yard, and my rocks are just letting out heat like crazy in the evening. So,
okay, spend some time today.
Okay,
thanks a lot, Todd. Right. Take care. 1-877-332-8255. We got to keep moving here. I think we're going into Maple Creek right now. This is like always the warmest place in the province, usually. And we got Violet. Hi, Violet. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Right on.
My problem is I start picking my Norkent apples. They're a cross between an apple and a pear.
Yep.
And when I got halfway up into the tree, I noticed I had a Kent caterpillar nest there during the summer.
Yes.
Now, did that spoil the apples at all?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Nope.
And another question is, to prevent it from next year, I had planned on maybe spraying something on the leaves this fall and next spring early before they start out. What is the name of that product?
No, you don't do it. No, don't need to do anything for that one until basically July next year.
Oh, yeah.
And then you spray BTK.
Oh, BTK. Okay. Oh,
it only affects the caterpillars, doesn't affect ladybugs or any good bugs.
I see.
But you spray them as soon as you notice it, because what happens is you spray it on the leaves, and it's a biological, so the caterpillar ingests it right off the leaf.
Yes.
And then it gives them a tummy ache, and then they quit eating and die.
Do they eat on the apples, too?
Nope, they just eat the leaves. They actually suck on the leaves.
Clumps of apples. And every once in a while, there would be a dried, totally dried up ripe apple in the bunch.
Yeah, that's not from the caterpillar.
That'll be from
another insect or just an apple that was basically aborted by the tree. You know, something damaged, wind, whatever. Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. So, and another question I have is, I've got this kochia weed.
Yep.
Neighbor across the back alley has it, and they don't look after their yard too much.
Yep.
And what do I do with it? Now it's just, my garden is just about full of it, and I'm pulling the weeds by hand and getting rid of them in the garbage. But how do I prevent it from next year?
That
seeds around.
That's a tough one, because in the garden you can't do much with that, right? Because you don't want to stop.
Well, I don't really have anything in the garden now because I've got too many deer. So I want to just get rid of the...
So if you, then use corn gluten. Okay, if you got no garden, you can use corn gluten. That'll stop those weeds from germinating.
Oh, in the fall or in the spring? Or
either one. You can do it in the fall and in the spring.
And corn gluten, now where do I get that?
You can get it at any garden center, and it's 100% corn gluten. It's all, sometimes it's called bio-weeden feed. But if you're going to plant a garden with seeds, you can't do that because it will stop your garden from growing too.
I wonder if that's what I've got a sack full of that, but I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. I got it from the elevator.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be from the elevator. This stuff is corn gluten, so it's like cornmeal, okay?
Cornmeal.
Okay.
And then you just, when do you sprinkle that?
Just in the fall or the spring?
In the fall or the spring.
Good.
Just all over where the weeds are growing?
Exactly.
Or just in spots?
Just where the weeds are growing.
Just where the weeds are growing.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Okay. That's
Thanks.
What I want to know.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Violet. Take
care. Thank you very much.
Yep, bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Time for a news update. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Hour number two coming at you. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. We've got Jill away right now. She's in Italy right now on a bit of a getaway. So good for her. Hope she enjoys it. We'd all like to be there too. But we're going to have Jill back in a couple of weeks. So let's get on with the second hour of the show here. Lots of texts. We've had lots of great calls that have come in. And we've got another one here waiting patiently in Regina is Kelly. Hi there, Kelly. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. What's going on in your yard?
Oh, well, all kinds of things, but I was just calling to see when the best time to deep water your moon glow junipers and other little trees before the winter here.
Yes, now I'm slowing down the watering, not droughting them, you know, make them bone dry or anything like that. Slowing down the watering, and then about the middle of October, give them one last good soak, whether you have to take pails out there or if you've got some water still turned on by that time. Give them one last good soak about the middle of October. That'll give them enough time to be able to suck up that moisture a bit into the needles.
Okay.
And then they'll be all set for wintertime.
Okay. That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the great call. Take care.
Okay. Bye, guys.
1-877-332-8255. We're going to transition right over into the text line because we got lots to talk about on here. Tons. So this is good. This is Irene, who's in Martinsville, also one of our regulars. Good morning. My corn has small black ants in the cobs of the corn. The ants are not on the kernels, so corn is still edible? Ants and black stuff. Maybe the eggs are like in the husks?
No, the ants are there probably because you got aphids.
Oh, aphids.
And
okay.
So they're just milking the aphids, okay? So they're sucking, so something, or there's some, usually their ants are after the sap, you know, on trees or leaves that are leaking out, or they're after to cling onto the back of an aphid and actually milk them.
Oof, okay.
Like dairy cattle. And they take that sap back to the, because the aphids are sucking on the plant.
Yes.
And then excreting. And then they're just grabbing that excretion and taking it down to their nest.
So Irene wants to know, what do I need to do for it to not happen next year?
Yeah.
Or can she fix it now?
Yeah. I mean, just watch for your insects otherwise, you know, for aphids and those kind of things. And if you need to get rid of the ants, then you can also use, if you know where the ant hills are, you can use the ant buster, which is a nematode, to get rid of the ant hills.
Okay.
Right.
Can you put a nematode like ant buster right in your garden?
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Okay. So that's.
Just remember, and usually your garden, you're watering, so there's moisture there anyways.
Exactly.
And so the nematodes work perfect for that situation.
So we can use ant buster nematodes, Irene, in the garden or the lawn around the garden or anywhere in your yard to keep the ant population down. And then.
Works really good.
We've got to work on aphids. And can you spray corn earlier in the year?
You can spray them. You can use even an Endol or something like that, an insecticide
to get rid of the aphids.
The aphids.
So this year.
Because they'll be on the leaves first and then or around the flower, even when they're flowering.
Yeah.
And then, but you don't want to spray anything during the flowering time, right? Because you want to be pollinated.
Right. Okay.
Right. So,
so both these products, if you wanted to use, say, End All now on the corn, you could do that.
Well, the problem right now is that the aphids might be inside the husks and that's right.
Right. Right. Right.
Or around the husk. If they're visible on the outside, you definitely can use it because you can use it up to one day before harvest.
Oh, okay. There you go. So it's something you might be able to fix for this year and definitely can fix for next year.
Yep.
So hope that helps you out, Irene. 1-877-332-8255. This is another corn question. I guess it's the day of corn. Julian Battleford, another regular. Corn hit. Leaves are dry and somewhat white. Are the cobs still going to ripen? We had lots and lots of frost.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends how bad they got hit. I mean,
she sent us pictures too. Yeah. Let's see if we can spot a couple. So we got some leaves that are definitely drooping down there. And then we've got, is there one? Yeah. It's hit. Yeah.
They're not going to obviously do any more growing because they need the leaves to be able to, you know, produce the sugars and that to be able to put into the plant. So basically, if there's no green leaves at all anymore, basically what you have now, they'll ripen a bit. But I mean, because there's energy in the stalk itself, you know, that'll give it the fruit from the roots up through the stalk. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you're not going to get the type of growth. Your cobs aren't going to grow anymore. They're just going to finish.
Okay.
So if your tassels are turning brown, then go ahead. You know, the tassels are really green. They probably didn't finish yet, but they might finish up yet with just getting energy from the stalk.
Okay. All right. So, Julie, good luck with the corn. Hopefully it makes it. This is Christine, who's in Pilot Butte. I planted a new perennial flower garden this year. When should I cut these back? Should I wait for the plants to die? Things like the hostas.
Okay. So,
a perennial flower garden.
Okay. So, I don't cut mine back until there's two ways you look at it. Okay. Myself, I don't like cutting them back until the spring, just because I let my hostas all hang down and acts as a mulch. It's their natural way of protecting themselves in nature when you don't have somebody cleaning up the yard.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So they all lay down. So I like cleaning up in the spring. Now, they are a bit more mushy in the spring, cleaning up, right?
Yes.
So, but I mean, they do add protection for the plant, and it's a natural protection. And so there's two ways of looking at it. Some people love cleaning up their yard in the fall because they're not mushy.
Yeah, right? That's true.
And so I wait until you get a couple of frosts on them first.
Okay.
You know, because I want all the energy right now. They're putting all their energy. The perennials are putting energy from the leaves down into the root.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So I like to leave them as long as I can and then give them a clipping and then trim them down if you want to do it in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I suggest you do is, like my wife, we have a whole bunch of, like those, you can get them from your hardware stores.
Okay. Just
flags to mark where your sprinklers are, you know? And she goes in the fall, she has flags everywhere where her perennials are. And that way when we do our weeding or spraying in the spring, you know, for weeds and that, because the perennials don't come up, we don't make sure we don't hit a new little sprig coming up in the spring. So we had these flags everywhere where all my perennials are, and there's hundreds of them.
Oh, gosh. It's a flag garden.
It's a flag garden.
Cool.
But it marks all our perennials so that she knows where they are.
There you go. Let's see. This is from, I'm not sure if I have a name, but it might be Owen. Owen says, my one birch has turned. It was planted last year. Other birches look great. The couple pictures that Owen sent, I believe it's Owen, is this. Rick, you can sign it, sort of see. So leaves are like half green, but now it's...
Yep, they're starting to turn color. So usually that happens from obviously stress, either too wet or too dry.
Okay.
Same thing. But they'll start, because of the daylight hours, I wouldn't worry about it right this time of the year, but I would probe the soil and see if it's really, really wet. Then aerate, poke a bunch more holes in. And if it's really dry, give it a shot of water. Not a ton of water, but just enough to get it, because I want it to turn color in the fall. Now that, they said they had more of them around, and this is one of them.
Yes.
Yeah, so it could be because it was new planting, maybe that plant's just a little more stressed than the other ones.
Maybe, because
of the location. And so probe the soil down, basically down 8-12 inches down, and just see what the moisture's like.
Yeah.
Use a piece of rebar or something like that. It works perfect.
If we do water, if Owen does water it back in, you're not going to get new green leaves this time of year.
You do not want new growth. So I wouldn't worry about it. They've already set their buds for next year.
Right.
Okay, so I'm not worrying about it at all. I'm just basically trying to find out why, and that's why I probe the soil now to find out, and then you know next year what you need to adjust. either more water or a little less water for that area.
And then next year in the spring, we can fertilize this thing and get it going again, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So, okay. So it's not a panic yet.
Yep.
It's more of a thing to figure out kind of for next year.
Yep.
Right. Okay. There you go. Is this normal is the question. Well, I mean, happens. It's
different trees. I mean, I look out across the riverbank right now. I see lots of maples and everything else starting to turn color. All the ash have turned color here in the riverbank already. So because of its drought and they're just daylight hours are less and less moisture there.
I can't believe it's already come. Man, crazy. Okay, let's take a break. We're going to go with lots and lots of texts when we get back. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk, and thanks for spending Sunday morning here with us. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and Jill will be back on the show in a couple of weeks. Over to the text line at 1-877-332-8255. Some really great texts have come in, and this is a good one. This is an interesting one, actually. I like this. Lynn is in Saskatoon says, I have a garden in a rental that nobody takes care of.
Yep.
If I put down cornmeal, how long does it stop seeds from germinating?
Up to 2 years.
2 years, okay. Because is there something else I can do to prevent a 5-foot-tall weed forest just in case we want to use it as a garden again down the road?
Pick the weeds before they go to seed.
Right. However,
that's the best thing to do.
I mean, that would be. But right? Basically, for 2 years, if you know that that house is rented for 2 years.
Yep.
Or a year. Yep. You know it's a 2-year cycle. You could lay that stuff all down. Potentially have an empty plot of soil.
Put landscape fabric down over top of it and staple it down.
Oh.
You have some staples, just stick it down.
Okay.
If you're going to be 2 years empty, just put landscape fabric over top of it and pin it. You just have fabric staples.
Yep.
Staple it down. Done.
Oh, okay.
Right? You have this black-looking backyard, but, I mean, you're not going to get nothing growing through it.
Right.
Especially if you've got the overlaps good.
But the corn gluten would work as well, right?
Well, it's only going to stop the weed seeds. It's not going to stop the perennial seeds, the perennial weeds that are there already.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
So there's a good point.
It doesn't stop the dandelions or the quackgrass or stuff that's there that doesn't die every year. It's not an annual. It's perennial weeds that'll still come.
Okay, so there's a good
except
a good
for the point. Seeds. Perennial weed seeds will stop, but
yes.
Actually, if there's roots in the ground,
if there's roots there.
They'll keep growing.
And sounds like maybe for Lynn, there already is 5-foot-tall weeds with roots there. Well, there'll be big root systems now.
Yeah, and corn gluten will just feed those. Right?
Okay.
It's fertilizer,
that's
too.
That's right.
Right?
So buzz it all down, Lynn, and cover it with, buy a couple rolls of fabric.
And then
peg it all down.
If there's no grass there anyways, just all weeds, just mow it all down, right? So it doesn't poke holes through your fabric. Get it all down to the ground, clean it all up, put fabric over top of it, staple it down.
And then when the day comes you want to use it as a garden, you just pull
your staples up, work your soil up a bit, and get it back to life again.
Okay, so there you go. So that's our better suggestion maybe for the situation you're in, Lynn. There you go. 1-877-332-8255. This is Janet, who's in McCord, Saskatchewan, says, I had oriental poppy seeds given to me. Yep. From my understanding, I just need to scout them on top of the soil in the fall, and hopefully they'll germinate in the spring.
Yeah, mine do all the time.
Oh, okay. My question is, how late in the fall do I scatter them, and do I water them in?
The poppy seeds are going to start blowing up and poofing them, the seeds all over the way pretty soon right now.
Okay.
So anytime, if you got the seeds, you can do them anytime now in the fall here and you can start putting them out. Mostly what happens is that the seeds need the wintertime to stratify to basically give them a cold time.
So they're not going to germinate now.
So I would suggest, because we've still got some warm temperatures right now, I don't want them to germinate now. I want them to germinate in the spring. So I would suggest doing it about anytime in October.
Anytime October.
Okay.
Okay, Janet.
Then
so there you go.
Then.
We got a text from Jenny, who's in Avonlea. I live in South Regina. I've got towering aspens lining our yard in town. So this is an in-town. They're about 18 years old, planted 3 feet apart. We noticed over the last 2 years, some of the leaves on some of the trees are turning a yellow-green. They do touch power lines as well a little bit. The north and south line is where the issue is. The east-west line is healthy. What do we need? Moisture, nutrients, that sort of thing. So there's some pictures right here that Jenny sent us. And there's actually a good one you can see, Rick, where we've got, you know, a row of these things. Really, really pretty, actually. And then a couple of them that have some green, light green stripes in them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
they're stressed from being
stressed.
Too close together.
Ah.
Right. And then, of course, they've got roots that go across your yard and the next neighbor's yard, too, right? Everywhere.
Okay. Yep.
So just make sure that you water and fertilize those plants, because what happens when they're starting to get looking like that, they will attract the poplar borer. And once the poplar borer drills in, and maybe you do have a start of a poplar borer in ready, you'll see little holes up, you know, usually around 6 foot height where they start, or sometimes they start near the top. And then you'll have little holes about the size of a ballpoint pen in the shape like a D. And you'll see, even sometimes see sawdust around the base of the trunks.
Okay, so look for these little holes.
Yep, they're tiny holes.
Hopefully they're not there.
Because then what happens if they're stressed, they will attract the borer. It's just the trees put out a natural pheromone that it attracts when they're in trouble to attract insects. So just make sure you keep them healthy. Number one, you never stop fertilizing, never stop watering those trees.
Gotcha.
Because those trees, especially those tower poplars, and that, they take lots of moisture.
Yeah, Swedish aspen, tower poplar, same sort of story.
Same story. Take lots of moisture because, especially in the summertime, there's lots of leaves on them, right? And they suck up lots of moisture. And if you're just watering your grass, it's not enough.
Okay.
Like you got to deep water the grass every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 1-877.
That's once a month. Okay. That's not a ton. Just once a month. Deep water.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
This came from Paul in Saskatoon. For your information, Superstore in Confed has cases of Roma tomatoes, 11 kilograms for $15. Oh. Grown in Ontario. Cool.
There you go.
Nice deal. I like that.
You know what? There's market gardens out there right now all over the place that have great vegetables. That's if you go and support even like some of the local market gardens around town and around your town or village, whatever you have. There's lots of them around. A lot of Hutterite colonies, if you've got one close to you, they all got usually produce they're selling right now too.
Okay, perfect. 1-877-332-8255. We've got time for a call, and I think we're going to go to Odessa right now and talk to Leonard. Hi, Leonard. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Yourself?
Not too bad. What's going on with the issue in your yard right now?
My son-in-law seeded a new lawn in June, and there's lots of kochia coming now.
Yep.
Is there any way of spraying that kochia out, or what do you suggest?
If you did it in June, you'd probably be okay. You probably cut it about three or four times already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll be okay to spray it if you want.
Spray it with what?
Just use I would use what's called Weed Be Gone. It's an iron-based product rather than a 2,4-D product.
Uh-huh.
That'll probably work the better on it.
Okay.
And then just only go by the directions. Don't try to spray it too strong or anything, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And then you can do that, or otherwise just keep them mowed down, you know?
Yeah.
And then, because you don't want them to go to seed, because then you just get more and more and more. But eventually the grass will choke that stuff out.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's called Weed Be Gone.
Weed Be Gone.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
1-877-332-8255. Okay. We still got time here. Yeah. Let's keep going. Let's go to the text line. We'll jump into this one. Joanne says, good morning. Could you please tell me when and how to prepare hydrangeas for winter? Last year I trimmed them back and I must have been too far. They're only starting to bloom right now.
You want to be very careful. What I suggest people do, and that's what I do with mine, is I just, in the fall, once the heads have turned all brown, okay, and are done, I trim just the heads off.
That's right.
Okay, and that way your snow load doesn't come down and knock your plants to the ground. And I leave that up there, and then most varieties, you can give them a third pruning in the spring. And I do that just as soon as the snow disappears. I give them cut them back a third, and then you'll get lots of blooms in the spring.
Now, one thing, Joanne, that I have always had in my yard the issue with is that I have to use aluminum sulfate around the hydrangea. So you mix it with water, you pour it around. Don't pour it on the leaves. It can damage the leaves.
Yep.
But that changes the pH.
Yep,
that's the only way I've gotten my plant to bloom. It will grow, and it will turn green. And the moment I give it that, in a week, we got blooms.
Now, remember, this year, most of mine started blooming the end of July. Usually they start blooming beginning to middle of July.
Yeah.
So things were later this year, but mine are all in full bloom right now.
Are there any hydrangeas that actually bloom this late? Like, are there any varieties that are late bloomers?
Just start blooming late?
Yeah.
No, most of them will start blooming in the middle of summer and bloom right till freeze up.
Okay. So it is unusual. Joanne's got this thing going on.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they still will if there's lots of growth happening, but right now the growth is slowing down, and now that's why you're seeing the change in the color of the flowers. You know, some are to get their pinks into them now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just the change of daylight hours. It's telling them it's time to shut down and get ready to go.
That's right. Totally. Temperatures this week are looking a little bit better.
Yes.
You know, which absolutely. Is great. We're going to go to a break here in just a moment. So we'll get back to the texts in a second here, but we only got about a minute to talk here. So, I mean, that's good news for us and the garden and everything, right?
Well, farmers, they want this warm weather now. They don't need rain anymore, and they need just to get the crop off the fields right now. So you'll see them out there like crazy right now.
It sounds like the forecast for at least Saskatoon is all above 22 the entire week long, but my 26s and 28s in there mixed in with lots of sunshine. It's the same story in Regina, the southern part of the province.
It's a perfect time to get the garden. Like I said, slow down the watering.
Yep.
Don't let them go totally bone dry, you know, but I just want to slow down the watering, and then that just gets all the plants saying it's time.
Exactly. Let's go to our break. We got the start of the lightning round coming up next. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. I'm Jay. We've got Rick here in the studio, and Jill will be with us in a couple weeks. She's out on vacation right now, so just the two of us. Like old school times, Rick, right?
Yeah.
Like just you and I.
You and I.
Okay, let's go to the text line. We've got lots of texts to get through, and we're going to get as many as we can answered on the air before the end of the show, which still is half an hour, but that goes by pretty quick.
Yep.
Rod is in Warman, and Rod says, what's the best practices for lawns in the fall with in terms of water, fertilizer? Should the lawn be cut shorter prior to winter? So let's actually go over this.
Yep.
It's not quite time to do any of this yet.
No, we still got some nice weather here.
We
right?
do. Yeah, there's actually like 25s, 28s coming up this week. It's going to feel like summer again this week.
So anytime now in September, you can do your fall fertilizing.
Yep.
Okay. And so that's a good one to do. And I like using the groundskeepers, either one. There's two different varieties of groundskeepers, which is made in Saskatchewan, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has either the 16, if it's a newer lawn, I like using the 16-10. It's the green bag.
Yep.
Right? 3-17-3. Or otherwise, if you have the orange bag, it's a 23-0-3-17-3.
Okay.
Okay. So either one of them be fine.
Now, this is assuming that you maybe fertilize once or twice this summer.
Yeah. Like
right?
Basically, I like fertilizing three times. Once in the spring, right? Once in the mid, about July.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then once in September. And then you're going to have a nice lawn, a nice thick lawn. You'll keep the weeds out. You'll keep the insects like ants and all those other sod webworms and that kind of stuff. They don't like healthy lawns. They like going after the lawns, especially ants. I'll be going after the lawns that are, you know, dry and not growing as good, you know, easy to get around.
Yeah.
Thick lawn, you can't get around that.
Exactly. So it's time to do the fall. It's getting time to do the fall fertilizer,
yes,
which sets you up for winter and next spring.
Sets the roots up for this fall and sets the plant up for next spring.
Right. And then in terms of water, we're just starting to back down a little bit.
You're backing down because I also want my trees to slow down. So if I'm watering my lawn every day, mm-hmm, right, I'm watering my trees too, right?
Yes.
So now I'm not watering every day anymore. Okay, you're talking about it. You maybe want to put an inch of water down per week, right, type of thing. Now you will maybe go down to half inch.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, cut it back in half.
And then Rod asks, should the lawn be cut shorter prior to winter? Yes, but...
Yes, not yet.
Not yet. Yes.
Yeah, it's a little bit early yet.
Like the last cut.
Yeah.
And all I do is I just go one notch lower in my lawnmower.
Don't scalp it down.
No.
Because then you're leaving your lawn to dry out in the middle of wintertime, especially if we get a brown Christmas,
mm-hmm,
right? You're just making your plants more vulnerable, but you don't want it so long that it lays down and then you get a lot of snow mold and everything else.
Exactly. So that's why
where
I run my lawnmower, I just go that last cut.
Yeah.
We just go down one notch.
Yeah.
On the back and the front wheels.
Yep.
Not down to the bottom. Not grinding it down to the dirt. Just by one notch
like
go down.
In the summertime, I'm keeping, you know, like my out in the acreage, I'm keeping 3 inches, right? That's where I keep it all summer.
Yeah.
And then so for the wintertime, I might go down to 2 inches.
Right.
Right? Type of thing.
I use the guide on my lawnmower. Yep. There's five settings.
Yep.
The fifth one, the tallest one, is just really too long.
Yep.
So I run on number 4.
Yep.
All year. And on that last cut, I go to number three. That's it.
Yep. So and different lawnmowers are different.
Of course,
too, so,
of course.
Yeah.
But that's a good guide of what you can kind of do is just come down just that last cut.
Yep.
So 1-877-332-8255. Good question, Rod. That's cool. That's good stuff. Norm, let's see what's Norm's text here. When can I cut back cotoneasters and lilacs?
Okay, you can do pruning a cotoneaster all summer long, right?
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah, you can.
And so if you're doing a major pruning, like you want to cut it right, you know, a foot off the ground type of thing, wait till it turns leaves turn red on the Cadonia asters and then they start falling off, then I can trim them right down then. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lilacs, if you want blooms next spring, if you just want a hedge, you don't care about the blooms, whatever blooms is there is fine. You can trim them down this fall if you want. If you want the big flush of blooms in the spring, do not do your first trimming until after they finish blooming next spring.
Okay. There you go. 1-877-332-8255. Jerry is in Balgoni, wondering what the process of transplanting my out of control jade plant into a bigger pot is. So
yeah, now's a great time. You know, the transition time when the daylight hours are getting less, mm-hmm. now's a great time if you want to do some transplanting to do that now. And you can even do a bit of pruning on your jade plant. And there's lots of little videos and everything else on YouTube and everything else that show you how to do that. But I mean, yeah, they can be transplanted into only one size larger.
So okay? If you're going to keep the whole plant just one size larger.
Yes.
And you basically take all of it and put it into the next size larger pot.
That means 2 inches. Pots go by 2-inch increments, basically.
Okay, yeah.
So 12 to 14, 14 to 16, right?
So forth, yeah.
So forth.
Okay. The other thing you can do is what we talked about a little earlier is you can just rejuvenate that plant. If that jade is yes. out of control,
yep.
it's all woody and thin and, yep. you know, yep. kind of ugly yep. looking. Do what we talked about before, which yep. is harvest 2 or 3 or maybe 4 nice stalks.
Stalks, yep.
Get rid of the whole plant.
Yep.
Empty out that bowl or that pot you've got that you like maybe.
Yep.
Fresh soil. Plant them directly in, keep it moist. It will just grow roots and start over.
Yep. Right? Actually, my wife just did a couple. We have some beautiful autumn joy sedums, and we also have a variegated sedum out in the yard, too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she took some cuttings of those and stuck them into water right now, and she's going to plant them out this fall yet. And because she loves them so much, she's going to have more.
So, like, you can very easily take that jade yep. and make it in an in-control jade.
Yep.
Very simply,
yeah.
right? So doesn't always have to be that you got to buy a bigger pot and keep this huge, humongous jade plant.
You will need eventually a bigger pot as you go, just because you've run all the nutrients out of that one pot. There's just not much left.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. I'm saying if you keep that master plant,
yeah.
But if you just want to like keep a jade plant in a nice pot and you yeah. want that size
yeah,
of
just
pot,
keep reproducing.
Just keep reproducing it.
Yeah.
Just keep rejuvenating it.
Yeah.
Toss the old plant.
Yep.
Start a new one.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to pay money to do that. You just do it yourself. It's really cool.
Fertilize them once a month and away they go.
Exactly. This is a great text that says, when should you plant garlic and how deep? Instructions usually say 3 to 4 inches. Is yeah. that deep enough for rural Saskatchewan?
Yeah.
And is that on the top or the bottom of the clove?
Yeah. Basically, the top of the clove should be four. I like 4 inches down.
So the top of the clove
yeah.
should be 4 inches under yeah. the soil, yeah. the top of the soil. Yeah.
Unless you're going to mulch, then you can go a little bit higher, right?
So like a little shallower, you mean? Like so, like 3 inches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you mulch, then you pull the mulch off in the spring, then you can go a little bit more than that. I mean, if you and I saw a whole bunch in Kelowna. I mean, they have there's a lot closer to the surface because they don't get the cold like
right.
we do.
So three to 4 inches is more like yeah. 4 inches,
yeah.
and that's the top.
And
of it.
Now's the time. That's a good segue to that. Is that now's the time to plant your fall garlic in bulbs? Mm-hmm. The garden centers all have them. Tulips, daffodils, crocuses, all that's in stock right now at all your garden centers. So go check that out. And plant some fall bulbs. Great color. I have great color in the spring with the tulips and everything we planted around the yard. So,
okay. I'm just opening up a text here. And then this is Joanne, who's in Yorkton. Joanne says, what's attacking my hostas? And you'll see that there's basically nice hostas, a couple different varieties here. Some 3 different colors of green ones. And it's full of holes. It's all, well, like it's holes.
It's a slimy problem.
Uh-oh.
It's slugs.
Ooh. Okay.
Yep. So watch for slugs. Go out nighttime with the flashlight, and you'll see the little guys on the plants.
Okay.
And then best thing to do is to put some gloves on, some plastic, like the
rubber gloves.
Rubber little, gloves, yeah. and just go and start picking them. Or you can put some slug bait out. I like putting a piece of wood out and then put some slug bait underneath that. And you can take care of it that way because the slugs are attracted to the moisture underneath the pieces of wood.
And they like the darkness.
And they like the darkness. And so that's the best way rather than just laying it out on top of the ground. And or you can put the old, take a little, cottage sour cream container or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
It's not that deep. And you stick it in the ground and put some of your not favored beer into it because you don't want to waste the good beer. and put the non-favored beer into it, and they'll go for the beer, and they'll drown in the beer.
Sounds like a good way to go.
Yep.
So Joanne, you'll fix the problem. Yep. You can get on the problem now, right?
Yep.
And then do that again in this next year.
You'll have them again.
So keep doing
that. Keep on top of it.
So slug bait underneath a board. Yep. Keep that in the area.
Yep.
Keep working at it because that will take care of them eventually.
Go at nighttime and do your hunting at night with the flashlight.
Is there any like natural predators to slugs that you can get?
Not
birds?
Really.
No? Nothing like that?
Well, they're nighttime. The birds aren't working at night too,
okay.
Right?
So fair enough. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take our last break, and then it's the lightning round again to wrap up these texts when we get back. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Time for the lightning round here in Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. We'll have Jill back with us in a little while, a couple weeks probably, something like that. We're going to go to the text line right now and get as many as these answered off the air or on the air as we can, I should say. This is from Kelly and says, Kelly says, what's the best way to wrap your moon glow junipers in burlap? When do you do it?
Okay, do it right. You don't have to do it until almost November. But if you're putting stakes around the plant, then you need to get them in before the frost comes. Right?
So the best way is we're providing shade. We're not providing a coat to keep it warm. Yeah. We're just making shade.
And make sure that if you're not leaving the top open, if you're wrapping it right around the plant itself, start 6 inches off the ground. I need snow to go around the ground right to the trunk of the plant.
So our best practice, though, Rick, is we put 4 stakes in the ground.
And then wrap the trunk up higher than the plant itself. Okay, and then lay the top open so snow falls in.
Right, so you're just making a little tent, basically.
You're just making a shade shelter.
Right.
So what you're doing is shade and wind shelter. That's two things you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm not. One thing about wrapping them tight is that, especially if you overlap it quite a bit, you want to use a wrapping burlap because it's. The knit is not so tight, so it actually breathes a lot. I want the heat to escape.
Right.
Okay, I don't want to keep heat in around the plant. I do not want to do that at all. I just want to keep the sun off and the wind off. That's all.
Okay, there you go.
So wait until, like I said, if I'm going to wrap it right up, I'll do it just before the snow comes.
Okay, and the stakes can go in anytime now.
Anytime before the frost comes.
Vanessa is south of Anisqui. Hi, Rick. We've got so much clay in our soil. Our 12-year-old lilacs look healthy, 12 years, but they're only 2 to 3 feet tall.
Oh.
Oops.
Crazy.
Okay.
So a couple things you can do with that is gypsum around the plant works them into the soil. It'll just help break up the clay and make it more porous than that, okay? If it's that heavy of a clay, watch your pH of your soil because a lot of times your pH is pretty high and they won't grow on a really high pH, mm-hmm. right? Or if it's too wet because of the heavy clay, you'll need to aerate it. But that gypsum will help aerating it, right?
Okay.
And also using things like charcoal and those kind of things around the plant will help minimize that too. There's also other crops, other things out there that help break up clay soils as well out there that are new things coming out even for the farming world.
Okay.
And so anything that'll help break up that clay and make it more porous.
All right. Mike is in Bigger. When's a good time to divide up a rhubarb to start a new patch?
Anytime the leaves get a good frost on them and are a bit dormant, so it's a little bit early yet, but I mean, it won't be long. And another couple of weeks and you can do that for sure.
Okay.
Or otherwise, first thing in the spring, as soon as the frost is on the ground, you know, before the third week in April.
All right.
Okay.
There you go, Mike. Karen's in Emerald Park. Our large garden totally infested with chickweed. I'm thinking it's spread through frequent rototilling. Yep. Once we pull up our garden this fall, what can we spray the garden with to prevent this from happening next year? I can't keep up with this just by pulling it with
nothing,
hand.
Nothing. Just mulch. Mulch your garden.
Right. So
year.
So instead of rototilling it,
yep.
it's called no-till gardening.
No-till gardening.
So it basically is plant your garden.
Yep.
When the plants come up, fill in between all the plants, all the rows you walk on.
Oh, you can mulch right away in the spring and leave some spots where you can pull the mulch back and plant your rows that way too.
Right.
And then your chickweed won't grow on that great.
So. And it'll do a couple things. It'll keep moisture in from it drying out. It'll prevent the weeds from coming up, right?
And except for right against the plants. Well, you still have to do some weeding
a little bit there.
Right?
But then also that mulch will over time break down and act as fertilizer.
No fabric, no nothing, just mulch.
Just mulch. Lots and lots of mulch.
Go to zero till.
So look up, if you need to know more about that, Karen, zero till, because you can't do anything with a chickweed.
No, because I can't put any chemicals in there, because otherwise my carrot seeds won't germinate either.
Right, that's the problem. Right? Jordan's in Langham, when do you recommend putting the lawnmower away? Well, putting it away, that's a good question.
Well, like, don't forget, you want to be able to get, either if you're going to rake up the leaves, or some people bag their leaves up, I want to keep it around for that. But otherwise, you know, every person does it differently. Just make sure that you read up on how to winterize a lawnmower.
Yes.
Okay. Because different ways of getting the gas out, running, you know, turn the gas off and running it dry, you know, so that some people like fogging, a little bit of fog into their lawnmowers.
And there's a lot of battery lawnmowers out there. Yep. Don't leave those batteries out in the cold.
No.
Make sure they're inside.
Inside.
In the warm.
And it's a good time in the fall, because you remember, you usually have some time to take the blades off and get them sharpened for next year.
When do I put mine away? Well, when I see in the forecast it's about to snow and the lawnmower, the snowblower's got to come out, they swap places.
Swap places.
Yeah. So that's that's my cue when they swap.
But you know, when you're tuning up your lawnmower, just don't let the neighbors see it first. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to think it's that time yet.
That's right. Darlene is in Saskatoon. Most of my lily plants have been decimated by the lily beetle. Yeah. What can I do this fall or next spring to prevent this from happening? Or is it a lost cause?
Yeah, diatomaceous earth. Sprinkle that around your plants. That's a big one. And then next year, just keeping, so right away in the spring, start spraying underneath the leaves.
With what?
With Endol, Bug X Out, anything.
Yeah, because Darlene says I can't find Bug X Out anywhere.
Yeah.
It's all sold out.
Yeah, it's going to be, that's actually eventually going off the market. We got enough supply for next year already. We bought the wholesalers out, but it hasn't been taken off the market because of regulation, just that the company's just decided not to sell it anymore.
Oh, that's great.
So... And but there's lots of other products out there that have pyrethrin in it, because that Bug X Out is just pyrethrin.
Right. Okay.
Right? So there's lots of other brand names that have pyrethrin. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. But also just use a little lint brush. And on the bottom side of the leaves, you see that little line of orange eggs. Just take a lint brush and it picks them right off the leaf.
Okay. Yeah. So Darlene, hopefully that'll help you get on top of those, you know, with a little bit of that. I know it's a tough thing. This is Gene in Regina. I had hollyhocks come up in a spot where I planted them last year. Grew very tall with lots of buds, but nothing opened.
Yep.
Just shriveled. What's going on? No, How do I get flowers?
This year, my hollyhocks aren't blooming right now either. I've seen a bunch of hollyhocks, some just blooming just lately, but this year was just a late year. It's just... I got lots of green leaves, but not many flowers from them seeding last year. If you want hollyhocks, the best thing to do is probably capture those seeds, start them off in the house, you know, back in the beginning of April, get them growing in the house, and then transplant them out, then they'll bloom earlier in the summer for
you. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
That pretty much wraps up our time we've got for you today. That's it. It's over. 2 hours gone. We've got a few texts to answer when we get off the air here, so we'll get as much answers as we can with the time we got. Otherwise, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back same time, same place next weekend to do it again. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. You've been listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.